Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science.
Hello, and welcome back to Transformative Harmonics. I'm Paula Scataloni, and this is a short check-in in between my guests that gives us a chance to settle into maybe one concept as opposed to a whole handful or buffet, which usually occurs during the longer shows. It gives you a chance to take some of the pieces of my programs and our community and digest it in one small bite. So as we land today, I invite you to slow down, give yourself a moment to create some space in your day. Maybe this is a short 15, 20 minute moment between one project and another, or you're sitting in your car and just want to take the time to slow down, look around, observe, get out of your head and into your body. So I want to invite you to pay attention to my voice and how sound influences our capacity to slow down. Even when we're sitting with others who speak in a cadence that is softer or slower, or their tone is deeper, or their pitch might be tight or flowing. This all influences your nervous system and your ability to settle. And when you speak with others, you can hear in your own voice. Sometimes it's harder to hear your own voice, but you can hear another's voices, whether they are organized in defense or not. Because when we're organized in defense, our voices can sound a little like this. We contract them, or they can be very high-pitched or have an aggressive edge to them. And as we start to move into more and more safety, our voice changes. And so giving yourself a moment to feel into how my voice lands. And it may hit your nervous system and just kind of slide right in and help you drop down a notch. Or it may feel a little agitating. I know I used to be someone who felt agitated at sometimes a voice that had a lot of inflection. And that can tell us something about your nervous system. Again, there's no right or wrong. It's like how that pathway of information influences you and how you respond based on what you're hearing. The high pitch and the low pitch and that middle ground. And that's what my voice offers, is that middle ground, which is associated with presence and spaciousness. And we're cultivating that within ourselves so we can offer that to others. At least that's what we're doing in my programs. So I'm going to start with a quote. In a few episodes, I'm hoping to bring this author on to meet with us. Her name's Anne Baring, and she's a Jungian analyst and is well known in her work of bringing soul back to humanity. And this book is called The Dream of the Cosmos. We use it in my class. And I'm going to use this episode today to just speak into what you may be seeing happening in the world to kind of ground it in a few pieces so that you can hold the whole picture of what's happening around us. So in this section of her book, and this section is called The Awakening of the Soul, she says, this powerful evolutionary impulse reconnecting us to our deepest instincts for relationship with each other and with life on the planet is working a profound alchemy beneath the surface of our culture. Women and men are participating in a process of transformation that is manifesting as a new planetary consciousness, a new cultural impulse, whose emphasis is on the growing recognition of the interconnection and interdependence of all aspects of life. So take a moment and start to slow down and become a little bit more curious and aware of what you're seeing at a cultural level right now happen around us. I know many of you and people I meet and sit with are at times feel bombarded by the freneticness of life and the changes that are happening in the world around us, and a lot of systems and processes that are in place feel destabilized and destabilizing at this moment. But there is something else, as Anne speaks of, happening in the culture, in the very fabric of our culture at the same time. So I'm going to draw your attention to that, because in our programs, when we speak about this collective shift or a move towards a more embodied, what we call lunar aspect of ourself or archetype, the yin, and the rebalancing of the lunar and the solar energies, the inner yin and the inner yang, we are talking about a cultural shift. And I thought it would be helpful today so we can take it away from gender and bring it into more of a personal, what this looks like on at a personal level. And then you can go back into your life, be it the media, conversations with people, encounters that you have, projects that you're engaged in, and feel into this to see if you are seeing and tracking this in your own life. With the emergence of this lunar archetypal force that is simply emerging because it's time, because we reached a tipping point with the solar energies, the more industrious aspect of the psyche in favor of logic and the head and progress, which we have done great with as humans, right? But now there is a natural tipping point. It's the organicity of life and our cosmic evolution where we have to swing back around again. And so we're seeing this swing, this pendulum come back to the heart. And in programs that you might see out there, you'll see them called feminine codes or oneness codes or unity consciousness, or you'll see different names being used. But you also might hear people talking about love, compassion, wholeness, authenticity. So you're going to hear these words that are happening, that are infused in the culture. And this is part of this shift, this global shift in consciousness that is a natural progression, because we came to a tipping point with that other way of living and relating. And in this phase of our shift of consciousness, there's certain things that are going to happen. And I'm going to go through some of them. And these are embedded in our program and essentially what we help people to, we shepherd them through a process so they can explore each of these. So one is intuition and compassion, right? This ability to turn inward and to trust our inner wisdom rather than giving our power away to external forces. And with that, to witness with compassion our own pain and suffering, right? And to bring forgiveness to ourselves or to others, but to extend that same compassion to others. But we can't extend compassion to others unless we know how to do that for ourselves. So we start with ourselves. Next is a turning back to our understanding of the importance of cycles. These are both our physiological cycles and then the cycles within nature and the natural world. So understanding again the purpose of the seasons and what it means to move through the seasons and to, instead of following an external time clock, again, to use yourself and your body as the time clock that helps you to make decisions about what time you rise, what time you go to bed, how you move through life, your cadence, what you eat, what you ingest, that there's a way of coming into a reciprocal relationship with the natural world that our ancestors understood at a deep level. So when you hear people in programs talk about remembering, this is what we are remembering. Well, what am I remembering? Remembering that at a very deep ancestral level, we knew how to move with the rhythms of the earth, the rhythms of the body, to follow our own instinct. And we slowly lost that, giving away our power and our authority to clocks and systems and other outside forces that we deemed would know better than ourselves. So part of the shift is turning back to the body to go there for the answers first. We also want to start to empower ourselves with our own personal power. We've gone through many centuries as well, giving away our power to external forces, whether that is institutions, whether that is other people in our life. We primarily operate in very codependent relationships and unions. They're very codependent. They're not interdependent. And so as a civilization, we're shifting to more interdependence in our dynamics within households and dyads. We're also shifting in how we work in communities and coming back to a different way of creating a system so that everyone in a community has a purpose and a role. With power comes the ability to speak our truth with in an embodied way, with certainty and with clarity. But to do that, we have to know inside what our truth is. And if our nervous system is buzzing, and if we don't know ourselves very well, we cannot find the answers inside. Or maybe we block the answers inside and we bite our tongue in order to be comfortable in relationship and keep the peace, because we don't have the ways to speak our truth in a way that honors our truth and the others at the same time. So we need to learn how to do that and to make sure that the truth that we're speaking is from our heart and not from our ego or our defenses. Next, much of the work we're doing, you will see a lot of people talking about transformation of the shadow. And what that means is that there's deep unconscious wounds that we are working with and healing in different programs, depending on any program that you might be engaged in, or maybe you're doing it on your own. As you slow down, as you soften, then naturally material from the subconscious is going to emerge. And the degree to which you can sit with that with compassion and self-forgiveness will support your processing and integration of the material. Those are the two things we need for processing unprocessed emotions. We need compassion and forgiveness. And I think embedded in those is a ability to be present, to be in presence with the parts of us that are wounded. And there is a surge of people that are teaching and offering programs on what's called parts work. Many of us do it in different ways, but the summation of it is that we have different aspects of ourselves that you can experience as a part of you. It is not you. It's a fragment or part of your egoic structure. And how you are in relationship with that part influences how you operate in the world. So if there's parts of yourself you do not like or welcome, you're spending a lot of your energy probably pushing those parts away so you don't want to look at them or deal with them. And we all do that. So I want to normalize that. But also there may be parts that hold memories, and memories are often stored in the body. So when you engage in body-based work, whatever that might be, sound, psychedelics, somatic therapy, yoga, breath, you're going to find memories. It's just going to happen. So the degree to which you can be in compassion and presence and forgiveness as you tap into and sit with those parts is part of what alchemy, if you hear people using that word, what that's what alchemy is, right? When these wounds are transmuted through our emotional body. And there's a physiological aspect to that when that happens in the right way. Next, there is a collaboration movement over competition. So you'll see many people starting to collaborate, to share resources, to share their platforms from where they teach or work or create community. Collaboration is something, again, that we have a deep wisdom and we're remembering what that's like to work in a collaborative way, to live in a collaborative way, and to move out of this feeling of competition that's driven by a sense of not enough. So as we work on ourselves and we feel a sense of enoughness and understand that there is enough for everyone, then we don't need to grab and be aggressive or fight for space, attention, social media, clicks. We start to sit back and trust that the right people at the right time in the right way will find us if you're professional, or that life, we go back to rhythms, will give us exactly what we need in the right moment. So we move from control and trying to control life to sitting back and allowing life to bring us what is in our best interest and to greet it and greet all of our experiences with curiosity. I wonder what this is. I wonder why this is here, which is a very different way to move through life, right? It makes everything more spontaneous and brings some playfulness and fun even into things that are difficult. And then lastly, there is a shift towards receptivity and nourishment at a deep level. And this might look like you may see programs out there or hear people talking about traveling more or engaging in more self-care where they've changed their schedule to have some time off or to engage in a project that they wanted to engage in for a long time or take up a hobby they wanted to do because it simply brings them joy. And so people are starting to follow their joy. And when you follow your joy, joy is contagious, just like fear is contagious. Okay. So joy is contagious. So when they follow their joy, it starts to create something different around them. And from that, they may find that more joy shows up. So it is something to be curious about. There is also a focus on learning how to receive. Many people, myself included, are focused on being in service to others, which is fine. But there's also a piece of self-care and self-love that is about knowing how to give to yourself and how to receive when someone offers you. And how to value yourself and others equally in a way that doesn't put you in a position where you're over giving or over caretaking. And so you may see in the culture support available for taking trips, coming into communities where they are sharing music, taking opportunities to do a training that is in a beautiful setting where you're nourished, mind, body, and spirit, but you're also getting your professional credits if you need them. So these are some of the ways that I see when I look at culture, I can see these pieces of the resurgence of the lunar energy there, embedded in the culture and happening whether people notice it or not. In our program, we're bringing more attention to that because we are putting the responsibility in the person's hand to say, you can create this, you can expedite this, you can be in relationship with it as it's happening. So it's not something happening to you, you're actually on board with it. And then when that happens, even more magic happens, right? Because there's more of you that's saying yes to this process of this rebalancing. And everyone needs the rebalancing. It's not a matter of them and us. And it is because we have all lost. We've lost what Anne Behring would call the soul, which is the heart. And it's deeply connected to our instinct and our ability to know ourselves beyond the physical form. And it is still embedded and known in many cultures, but most of us, the people I work with, have lost our way with it. We have lost that aspect of ourselves, put it aside, tucked it away. Usually during childhood, something happened and these pieces of ourselves that were connected to nature and creativity and emotion and intuition got put away in service of what society valued. So this is really a remembering, a reclaiming, a returning to these parts of ourselves that are there. They're not gone, but they need to be remembered and awoken. So I hope that this gives you a tangible way to go back into culture, to spend time in your week paying attention to these values and where they may be popping up, because this civilization right now not only is going through a lot of dismantling and destruction, but there is a lot being built and being fed, like the soil's being watered, right? Without people actually being aware that that's happening. So I want to bring that attention so you can become co-creators in this movement and not simply observers of it. So I will look forward to seeing you again with my next guest. And I hope that you've had something that you can chew on, digest, and let percolate in the week ahead.